listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Kristen and Liza. In this last segment, we are going to ask a few powerful questions, as I like to call them. And those are just questions that basically make you go inward and reflect on your experiences. So we're with Danita and Dawn from A Grace. And I'm just curious, what have you learned about dying and death from this job?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is there's a kind of a stigma around death and dying, and it can be a beautiful journey. We prepare for our birth, we prepare for our wedding, we plan for all these things, but I think in general, especially in the United States here, we forget about planning for our death. And so I think it's important, I mean, what I've learned, it's just really important to think about what your values are around that. And I think some of the things that I've come up against is people think of hospice as giving up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just challenge people to rethink that hospice is not giving up. It's actually taking control of what your death and dying process will look like. So it's very empowering. So I think that's the biggest takeaway for me.
Well, and Danita and I are good friends. That's part of how she ended up here. And you've been a real model to me about how to accept the death of my family members and friends. And I think it's not just about preparing for your own death, but it's also giving people permission to guide the people that they love through their death process.
That's a great thought there, Kristen. And you're right. I mean, many times it's, you know, helping the family come together and talk about this so they know what the wishes are too, because many times at the end of life, the patient can no longer speak for themselves. So it gives the family permission, because we've already had these conversations, to do what they know that the patient would wish.
Yeah, and I think a message that you've helped me give to other people is that try to have that conversation with those family members before they're at that point where they can't speak for themselves, so that you do truly understand what their wishes are, different from what your own wishes might be for their death, right? That, like you said, we get to plan for a lot of our own transitions in life, except if our families aren't necessarily on the same page as us for how we want to exit this world, it can get really awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, we really want to honor people's wishes.
And do you have on the A Grace website or some recommendations of thoughts to think about? I mean, I know that's kind of a big question, but I tell my husband I want to be cremated and planted as a tree, and here's the song I want to play, and I'm like, are you guys writing this down? Do you remember this? Come on, guys, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you be proactive? I guess really above and beyond how I want to be laid to rest and the song I want to play, I don't know if I've thought about it. So where do you generate those questions or those things to think about?
Yeah, and that comes under that big umbrella of advanced care planning. And we do have a section on our agrace.org website on advanced care planning. And we actually hold workshops twice a month at our Fitchburg campus and once a month at our Janesville, Baraboo, and Dodgeville locations.
And are those classes for anyone?
They are for anyone. So it really kind of guides you through that big advanced care planning questions. And I would say, you know, it's easy to kind of think about those big things like I want to be cremated and things like that. But, you know, when you have a disease, say like a lung disease that's, you know, going to be life limiting, it's more things like, if you get pneumonia, do you want to be on antibiotics? Do you want to be put on a vent? So that's where supportive or palliative care can help guide those conversations, because we can do disease education and then help you kind of navigate what are those big questions that are going to come up throughout this disease.
So on a personal note, I remember having that conversation with you when my mom was dying of COPD.
Yes.
And after that conversation, I talked to her doctor and I said, Doc, I need this straight up. And he had just helped his mom pass to the next phase. So he said, okay, Kristen, I get it. And we actually had one of the best, most real conversations I've ever had with a physician about what was going on for my mom and how to honor it. And he was saying, you know, what's happening for her right now, sure, she's got anxiety, but it's not because she's got generalized anxiety disorder as, you know, a diagnosis. It's because breathing is incredibly challenging for her, and she knows she's looking at the end. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be anxious in that situation? So let's treat it from that standpoint, not from a generalized anxiety disorder that where we have to get in a psychiatrist and put more people on the team that don't really know her. And it was fabulous experience that, you know, we then talked with her about that. We talked, you know, I talked with my siblings, we talked with her sister, and as a whole family, we were able to get on the same page and support her to be comfortable.
Yes.
And Danina, you were really instrumental in that happening.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, thank you. Dawn, what about you?
So I was going to echo what Danita was saying. Oftentimes we think about, well, what is my funeral going to be like? And that's something to think about. But really, it's more important to think about how do I want to live out the rest of whatever time I have left? And oftentimes, especially in America, we just try to cure. And we say it all the time. You have to fight, keep fighting. And at a certain point, that's no longer beneficial. The outcome will be the same. So let's really think about, how do I want these last, whatever I have, how do I want that to go? And what's important to me? And we have conversations in hospice all the time about, you know, there are medications that we can use to help ease pain or trouble breathing. Those medications might make you more sleepy. Let's talk about what's important to you. Is it more important to be completely pain-free, which we might be able to do, or is it more important for you to be able to have conversations with folks? And let's kind of balance that out and figure out what fits with how you want to live. Those are really important conversations to have.
You just gave me chills with the mm-hmm. whole point about how it's fight. And mm-hmm. I have a couple people that I know are facing some of this right now, and they do feel like they're giving up. And it's really important to send that message that it's not a form of giving up.
It's not. It's a change in goals.
Right.
And I think that's really important. Sometimes people think that we are, like Danita said, giving up or losing hope. It's simply just hoping for different things, right? So it's hoping that I can have that conversation with a family member I haven't talked to in years. It's those kinds of things that we can hope for.
Whew, guys, this is intense. And you guys have a really important, but I could imagine, emotionally draining jobs. So one of our questions that, you know, people have asked that we're curious about too is, how do you do it? How do you do it when it's, you know, a day you might not be feeling it? And how do you make sure that you're taking care of yourselves? Because we know that we're going to have some listeners that are paid caregivers, right? Or people mm-hmm. in the caregiving professions like you. And how do you get through those days where you're like, I'm not feeling it, but I know I need to show up for my patient, my client, my family?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say, just to circle back to that mindfulness, I think that's been a huge part of my success, is just being present with those patients and that family. And I think that practice has really helped me on those days where you feel kind of drained. But I will tell you, when you get in front of a patient and a family, you get this enormous amount of energy that sometimes you don't even know where it came from, because you just, as you know, you're both caregivers. You get into caregiver mode and you do what you need to do to make sure everybody's well supported.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think a lot of people who are in this work are naturally very empathetic people. For me, I always think about, you know, when I get calls that are complaints, sometimes I don't get the most delightful calls, but I think about, what is this person going through? What is it that's influencing this? And yes, we may have dropped the ball on a schedule or whatever. And sometimes their response to that is pretty big, bigger than it would be under normal circumstances. And I think just reminding myself, yeah, they're having the worst day that they possibly could be having. And it is okay for me to take a little bit of that from them and just let them say what they need to say. But then also, I love the opportunity to be able to say, let me fix it for you. Let me take something off of you. Most of the time, the folks that I work with just needed somebody to listen. And I think it's such an honor to be able to be that person.
That is so beautiful. And I was just thinking while you were talking, like,
can I call you?
Oh, anytime.
Can I just call you and just vent?
Sure.
Because you sound just wonderfully supportive, and that is just great work that you're doing. And that kind of transitions into my next question. What about this job gives you joy?
There's a million things. Oh my gosh. I have been at a Grace for 10 years, and I absolutely love it. Would want to be nowhere else. A big thing for me is that I get to see what's important to people at the end of life, and it's really helped change my perspective about what's important, even though I'm not dying, and how, you know, we all have a time, and it's not really important how much money somebody has or status, but it always comes down to relationships. And for me, that's just really helped ground me in how I want to live my life. And then we get to do some pretty neat things with our patients and families. So we get to support folks who maybe do have a goal that they want to meet at end of life. So there was a story, it was in the news fairly recently, of a patient we had who had been like an exercise something physiologist, and she wanted to go swimming. And so her nurse and social worker arranged for her to go to a swimming pool, and they took her swimming. And it's those little things that, like, oh, although I wasn't physically there, I get to be that's a part cool. of that, and that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I would argue, Don, that we're all dying, so it's all
that's
of our
true.
Destiny.
It's true.
So one of my favorite sayings is, time is our only currency, spend it wisely. Mm-hmm. I echo everything Don said. You just get so much satisfaction when people finally get that it's okay to focus on quality of life, that and really help them with that journey. It's very rewarding. And not only the wonderful patients that we have and their families, and just the coworkers too. We just really have this, we're just all guided by the same, mm-hmm. you know, North Star. And it's a great place to be.
Sure, I can believe it. I know that we would want to kind of bring you guys to a close on this idea of caregiving. And so is there any particular favorite story of a caregiver that has stood out to you?
Yeah, I can share. I had a gentleman, actually in my role prior to my current role, I was a volunteer coordinator. And so I would help provide volunteers for families who needed a break. And this gentleman, it was so important to him to still get to go out and play bridge. Mm-hmm. And that's a really lengthy game. I had no idea mm-hmm. how long that took. And so I had to do some real finagling because we kind of limit the hours. And so his wife had dementia, and she couldn't be home alone. And so I coordinated to have two different volunteers swap off, and so he could go weekly and play bridge. And for probably about a year to 2 years after his wife's death, he would come into the office probably once every couple of months just to say hi and to thank me for making that possible for him and how important that was. And that was just so, I just love it, those simple things and being able to allow people to do those things that bring them joy.
Right. Well, in building that relationship, yeah. I love that he would come back and point out to you that, again, as a caregiver myself, that respite is so valuable.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything you want to share, Danita, before we go to break?
No, I...
Okay. And that's great. We are close on time, and we just want to make sure that we really thank you guys for all that you've done to come out here and give us your time on a very busy day, I'm sure, because of all of the work you're doing. We want to thank you for being the caregivers that you are and really keeping a Grace going. So,
yeah, thank you as well, and thank you for all that you're doing.
Yeah, excellent.